Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you again this week. Today's show, I'm calling How to Transform Life Challenges into Relationship Miracles. And we're going to be talking about how chronic illness can actually be an opportunity for greater connection and love. Now, of course, all the studies show that when one spouse has a chronic illness, that the marriage or relationship is more likely to fail, especially if the partners are young. And spouses who are caregivers are 6 times more likely to be depressed than spouses who do not need to be caregivers. But wait until you meet the couple that I'm going to introduce you to in a moment. This couple, they are two of the most amazing people I think I have ever met. Barbara Thayer and Ed Tullis. Barbara was stricken with MS in her 20s. And she was even blind. She lived in an institution on and off. And Ed's wife, Ed Tullis, his wife had MS for 44 years. And while his wife was dying in the nursing home, Ed and Barb met and eventually fell in love. Rather than say any more, I'm just going to introduce you to them and let you hear their remarkable story firsthand. So are you there, Barb and Ed?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
You sound good. All righty. So let me, Barb, let me start with you, because you are speaking firsthand from experience what it's like to have a chronic illness, to have MS. How did you discover that you had MS in your early 20s? What happened?
I was beginning, my gait was faltering, and I could not see clearly, and I was just slowly, and I was fatiguing a lot. With multiple sclerosis, the body fights itself. Even though I might have a nice, beautiful smile on my face, my body is still fighting itself. It's trying to take my immune system away from me, and so I would just try to pretend that I was okay, but I really wasn't inside. I would push it and push it and push it until there was nothing left of me, and that is why I wound up in my first nursing home, because I pushed it too far, and luckily I was married at that time. I've been married 3 times, and my husbands just weren't responding or helping out, and luckily my parents did step in, and they put me in a good nursing home in Evansville, Indiana, where I had an electric wheelchair. I could not talk coherently. I garbled like a child at the age of 25, and I was legally blind. I couldn't read the print on books, and at that time in 75, we didn't have the large print. And unfortunately, I was just, you know, left in the nursing home, but I had a blast in there. I had a best friend, because I do have the smile on my face and a positive attitude. Her name was Millie Borland. She and I made it in the Evansville, Indiana newspaper. Sunshine Girls spread cheer through home. No, it was not cheer in a bottle. It was cheer from our hearts. And we were just the pride and joy of the whole nursing home. And in that nursing home, there was a physical therapy department where I went daily, and with multiple sclerosis, the short circuitry in my nervous system does not allow the messages to get to where they're supposed to go. So I would stand at the end of the parallel bars and just attempt to walk, but my legs wouldn't move. So luckily, when I was 26 and a half, one of the aides there scooted my right foot forward maybe 2 inches, and somehow or other my brain clicked and I started learning how to walk again at the age of 26 and a half. Isn't that exciting?
Amazing. It's an amazing story. So now, and when you started to walk, then did your sight come back too, or you still were not able to see?
Well, with multiple sclerosis, many times you have optic neuritis when you were first diagnosed, and that's what I had. And my left eye wanders a little, but if I sleep well and I have good support under my head as well as my neck, my eyes are beginning to come back into focus a little better, and I'm able to see.
Amazing, your positivity. Now, when you were going through this, Barb, were you as positive as you are now? Here you're in your mid-20s, you're in a nursing home, you can't walk, you garble your speech, you can't see. Were you as positive then as you sound now?
Probably not quite as positive, but I'm just as positive because the good Lord, I believe in the Lord, and He knows what I'm doing, and He would not put more on my shoulders than I can handle, I feel.
Yeah, that's what they say, and that's an attitude that's definitely helped you through. Now, let's fast forward to you, Ed, because I haven't forgotten you.
So, oh, I hope not, Jamie.
I haven't forgotten you, man. You're right with me. So now, you're married for 44 years to your first wife, and then she gets stricken with MS, not as young as Barb, but later on. And then you told me that you actually outfitted your house so that you could care for her, be her primary caretaker at home, which you did for how long?
Well, I actually built the house with her MS in mind. Mm-hmm. She was diagnosed in 82. With primary progressive MS, one of the worst variations of MS. And at that time, she was still functioning and actually even still driving at that time. But we had a lot of good counsel, and we knew, we were prepared to build a new house anyway, but we knew that things were going to get worse. So I built this house all on one level so that, and within a very easy access into the house. Wide doors, handicap equipped bathrooms, the whole nine yards, railings going down the main hallway. We knew what we were going to be getting into. And sure enough, that's what happened. Yeah, she started to go downhill, and she passed away in the nursing home that Barbara was talking about just about 2 years ago from complications of MS.
Right. So you told me a story that touched my heart. It actually brought tears to my eyes. You told me that while your wife was in the final stages of MS in the nursing home and Barb was there recovering from, I think you said, kidney surgery.
Exactly.
Barb was the only person who could help your wife to smile. She couldn't talk. She couldn't eat. She couldn't swallow. She was on a breathing tube, but Barb would walk into her room and make her smile. How did you do that, Barb?
Just the joy in my life and the twinkle in my eyes. And I've got a nice smile, my own teeth and everything. But she could just feel the joy and the love of in my life and in my heart for her. We both had the same disease. I've got relapsing remitting MS, and she had the primary progressive, which is the worst form. But people with MS, we can kind of understand one another, even though it's different types of MS. But multiple sclerosis is no fun of a disease to have. But you just have to grab the bull by the horn and go for it.
You just walked in there, knew that she was in so much agony, mm-hmm. and you just brightened her day. Here you were with complications from MS and kidney surgery, and you're walking in there not worrying about you and feeling sorry for you. You're bringing joy to her. Such a beautiful thing.
It is beautiful, and that's all true. But it didn't happen instantaneously, Janie. It was a time-lapse thing. It took time for the three of us to become acquainted and build this very special relationship. And after a while, Barbara was moved to another room with the window that she wanted. But she would still come and visit us and Jolene every day. And it was then when Barb was walking down the hallway into the great room, so to speak, that Jolene was out in her Jerry chair, couldn't move, could hardly speak, but she could still see, and she saw Barbara coming, and that's when that big old smile would pop out.
That is so gratifying to see that, to see the joy in someone else's eyes, just because you come and you say hi to them.
Absolutely remarkable. You know, what you're describing is an inspiration for all of us, because it's so easy to get on a pity pot and feel sorry for yourself and how miserable my life is and my sickness and money problems. And here you have had incredible struggles and health problems, and you yet find this reservoir inside you to just get out of yourself and just bring love and joy to someone else. This is an inspiration for me, and I'm sure everybody who's listening, because this is really how we're all supposed to be in life, and very few of us get to that level of selflessness and really focusing on the other. So Ed, you said that you watched Barb just absolutely love and support your wife. And how long did you watch Barb doing this? How long did that go on?
For about 2.5 years, actually. It was in the nursing home when they were both together in the nursing home. I was up there every day, virtually every day. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I had a dog, a therapy dog, Little Lily, and she was the fourth member of the little group. It was really lovely. But anyway, yeah, it was about 2.5 years that this relationship grew. And, of course, the last 6 months of Jolene's life were the worst. She was in and out of the hospitals. They're fighting to keep her alive. But the whole relationship between Barb and I, of course, we're married now. We've been married for about 3 weeks.
You didn't... Wait, you're getting ahead of me. Wait a minute. I wanted to go through a whole courtship ritual.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. All right, the cat's out of the bag.
I'll zip that part of my mouth shut.
No, we're there. We might as well discuss it. So you guys, after all these years, Barb, you in the nursing home for a couple of years and supporting his wife, and he watching you and getting to know you and becoming friendly with you, when did the two of you realize that you were actually falling in love?
Probably shortly after Jolene died. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And after the nursing home, I moved to an assisted living complex. And at the assisted living complex, I had a lot more freedom and ability to sign myself out and then sign myself back in. And that's when Ed would take me out to dinner, to movies and things like that. And that's how another way we got to know one another.
It's really romantic. So how long did the two of you date in that way?
Well, since Jolene died, which is almost 2 years now.
So you were dating, and did you both know very, very early on that you would eventually marry, or is it just something that...
Well, I'll tell you, I knew. I had a lot of clues. I knew what I wanted in life. Barbara wasn't sure. She was so used to moving here, moving there, insecurity, not being able to count on many people and this type of thing, and... instability all around her. She wasn't sure, but I think she had an idea too. And after a while, as she became more secure in the knowledge of her increasing well-being, it just kind of came together and made sense. And I proposed to her, and she said yes. And well,
wait. Dr. Love needs to hear all the details. I want to hear all the details. So, Barb, I'm sure you're never going to forget how he proposed to you. When, where, what?
Well, it wasn't all that romantic.
Aww. Ed is my knight in shining armor. Okay, and that I hope it's like a Cinderella story for me. He is my knight in shining armor. You know, like the frog, the princess kissing the frog, and he turns into a hoo.
And he was never a toad to start out with. Did you know you're her knight in shining armor, Ed?
No, I didn't know that, but.
Oh, you're finding it out now, publicly on air for the world to hear. Now it's official. You are her knight in shining armor. Do you know why she says that, Ed? Do you know why she says that?
Why?
Barb, tell him.
Well, because I love him, and he sets such a good example for me, and he loves me, and we respond, we communicate, and he's a Christian, and that's the most important thing.
That's important to you. Okay. All right. You know, the thing is, I was wondering, and I didn't ask you this when I met you. I don't know you both, but I met you and you started telling me your story. And I wasn't sure when when you said he was your knight in shining armor, in essence, did he rescue you from the assisted living? Had he not come along, might you have ended up staying there?
Yes, yes, probably. I was under my younger sister's conservatorship, and I really didn't have, you know, I couldn't sign my name, and it wasn't worth anything, if you understand. And I now am a person, and I am independent, and well, I have my husband with me, and so we're two in one. But my name is worth something, and I have a joint we have a joint checking account, and I have a social security, and I'm somebody now, and it's exciting.
So me. Ed, it's as if you've given her her life back, her independence, her freedom.
Yep.
Through the connection, there's great freedom too. Let me take a brief break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about your love affair and living with MS. I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I have with me today Barbara Thayer, a woman who developed MS in her mid-20s. She was institutionalized, couldn't walk, garbled her speech, was blind, and then a miracle happened one day, and she was able to walk again, and her sight came back. And her husband of only a week, Ed Tullis, whose wife was stricken with MS, and they met while Barb was in the nursing home, and his wife was in end-stage MS. So, you guys, I want to hear about how your honeymoon went, because you went on your honeymoon last week. Tell me about it.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah.
Well, Barb had... Being born in central Indiana, in no man's land, no, not really.
Oh, boy. First argument.
She had never seen the ocean. And I had promised her for quite some time now, I'm going to take you to the ocean. Oh, the Atlantic, actually. And that's where we went on a honeymoon. We went down to the Jersey Shore to Wildwood and Cape May and had a wonderful time.
Hmm? And I walked in the ocean, and we collected some seashells and whatnot that came in with the tide. And that tide is just so mesmerizing. I don't see how the captains and the ship, then the ships in the 17th century made it across the Atlantic. Ooh, it would have been scary for me. But
you know, Barb, you never saw the ocean before your honeymoon.
No. Well, wait a minute. I did see it in a book.
Oh my goodness. That's like saying I read about an orgasm in a book. Not the same thing.
I did see the Ohio River and Lake Michigan, but
not the same.
You're right.
Not the same. Same, like I said. And so it's as if your life, you're really being born for the first time here. In this fourth marriage, which that's a whole nother story, but we'll get to that in a minute. I just want to hear more about the honeymoon. So you saw the ocean for the first time. You're out of the institution now. You and Ed are on your honeymoon. What else did you guys do?
Oh, we ate some fantastic food. And it's neat because the lady, the receptionist at the hotel we were at has MS also.
No way. Wow.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And, yeah. And,
don't call me ma'am. It makes me feel very old.
Yes, Jamie. Yes, Jamie. Okay.
You're the youngster, Jamie.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, all right. Remind me. All right.
Okay. But, and, I, whenever I meet anyone, I just tell my story about my MS, and because it is a miracle, and this is my testimony for people, and it hopefully helps them realize how lucky they are not to have to go through something like multiple sclerosis and the challenges and the tribulations that many times come hand in hand with it. And it's just a miracle. Like, when people look at me and I tell them, hey, if you're looking at me, you're seeing a reflection of yourself. Okay, I'm nobody special. I'm another lady. I'm a medical miracle, but hey, we're all miracles. We get out of bed every morning, don't we?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, I wrote after my husband died when I was feeling particularly glum. I tried to find something to say to myself that would make me laugh and lift me up. So I wrote a poem that I'm upright and dressing is a blessing. That's all I could think to say at the moment. I'll be back with you guys in one moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm talking with my guests, Barbara Thayer and Ed Tullis. Barbara, an MS sufferer since her mid-20s. Ed, her new husband. And I just want to talk with you guys. One second, I want to tell you some tweets on this topic. I always do tweets, so let me give you a couple of tweets, all right?
Sure, yeah.
So, did you know that sickness can help love grow? Well, stick with Dr. Love and you'll be in the know. Here's another one. Accepting life's bumpy rides helps you weather the inevitable low tides. And I think this fits because you just came back from the ocean, right? Sickness you can weather when you pull together.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And love cannot be broken when you allow your heart to open. And instead of feeling sorry for yourself, try focusing on your areas of wealth.
Right.
And focus on
always monetary either.
Oh, I'm talking wealth, emotional wealth, spiritual wealth, all kinds of wealth. Focus on what you can do to give, and your love will eternally live. And last but not least, giving is receiving, which you both are living proof of this.
Yes.
So tell me more about your honeymoon.
Well, Barbara got to see dolphins chasing her for the first time.
Oh, that was neat.
Yeah. Yep. We went out on a dolphin watch, and the captain, or the guy, the tour guide, actually tried to spook us and say, there's no dolphins out there today. Well, let me tell you something. We had dolphins following the boat all the way out and all the way back. And the only problem was I had a hell of a time catching them on the camera when they were jumping out of the waves.
Yeah, well, you know, they were just trying to catch Barb. They were saying,
right.
Barb,
right.
We're totally, totally bowing to you. That's what they were doing.
It was so neat because there were three of them that came out at the same time. And, dude, they were just, what an exhibition, you know?
Absolutely. Exhibitionistic dolphins, really. So now, what else did you do? I saw a picture of you dressed up.
Oh, yes.
Dressed up. You did some kind of dress-up game, and you dressed up too, Ed, but not in a kinky way. What did you do?
Okay, well, on the boardwalk at Wildwood, there is this old-time photo studio. It's a pretty big, building, and within it is this big studio. And you go in there and you get to choose the kind of old-time theme that you wanted to dress up in. And then they would take your pictures in all kinds addictions, you know, gambling. Our particular theme was Old West. Now it's dressed up as a gambler, cowboy, kind of a killer type of thing.
And now you look like that. You look just like a gunslinger, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And Barbara's dressed up as a dance hall girl. And
yeah, Barbara, you look like a slut. I got to tell you, I saw the picture. I said, slut.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and we have a nice little poster here. Wanted for crimes of passion, $25,000 reward, okay?
Well, it was your honeymoon, so I hope you were guilty of crimes of passion. That's a good thing.
But you know, probably the most beautiful thing, Jamie, was, as you know, the last couple of weeks have been very, very hot. And we do not do well in the midday heat of the last week and a half or so, especially Barbara. She just wilts underneath an intensive heat like we were experiencing. So we were up at 5 o'clock in the morning. We wanted to do the beach as much as possible. We were up at 5 o'clock in the morning, drove over to the very end of Cape May, and spent all morning on the beach while the sun came up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, that's probably the thing that I'll remember the most about it. And there was a little tiny diner right there at the peak, right there at the beach, and we would have breakfast there until it
I know out. That diner.
Do you?
Yeah. I ate there. It's at the very end of the road. It's a dead end, and it's a dumpy little place, and I remember...
Right.
yeah, but good people go there. Come on.
It's a great place, and there's a little gazebo across the street.
Right, exactly,
right.
Where you could go for some shade, right.
Yeah.
Right. I like that place. Mm-hmm.
It was so exciting because there was another lady there, and she had her husband. Her husband had just had a stroke, and I explained to her how I learned to talk again. I over-enunciated, I went slowly, and I looked in the mirror, my mirror in my room, and I just used all my facial muscles, because with multiple sclerosis, as well as many times with strokes, we lose the ability to talk coherently, and so you have to exaggerate and go slowly and overuse your facial muscles to make sure that you get the words out and use good pronunciation.
Enunciation.
Yeah, we got the point. You said it very, very well.
This is called breakfast conversation while watching the sun come up.
Sure.
That's funny. So let me ask you this. You said that you both belong to the MS Society, right?
Right.
You guys, your experiences, the way you have managed your relationship, you, Ed, where you had this strong marriage, even though your wife had MS,
right.
And you, the strong relationship you both have now, I think gratitude is a very large part of the way you're able to allow the love to shine through, that you don't focus on the deficits of, oh, gee, Barb limps a lot, because I saw you walk, Barb, and you limp a lot, right? But you don't focus on that. You say,
no.
Thank God I can walk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or limp, whichever.
Well,
right,
MS
or thank God I can limp, right.
Yeah, MS is the common denominator in our relationship because I've been through it. Barb's been through it. We both know what to expect and how to deal with it.
But we also realize that, hey, since we're alive, death is going to come eventually, you know? So we're prepared,
right.
But we just want to spend as much time together happily as possible.
Because you really are the ultimate poster children, poster retirees, for living in the now. Totally living in the now.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're both just kids, actually.
I know. We never growed up. I know. It's very good not to grow up. So have you guys had any fights yet?
Actually, no. But in thinking about it, now that you mention it, there have been minor issues that needed to be talked about. And we have both learned that nipping it in the bud just by talking about things prevents it from growing into a disaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is that a new experience for you, Barb, to have a husband who's willing to talk to you and nip something in the butt?
Yes, ma'am. not
oh,
ma'am.
I'm back to the ma'am again. Listen, you could just call me doctor. If you want to use respect, just call me doctor. Somebody called me ma'am, and I said, just call me sir. That's enough respect.
Well, you see, I used to live in Mississippi, and down there, everything is yes, ma'am, and no, sir.
Oh, yes. So but you had three marriages prior to this marriage, and they were not good marriages.
No, they weren't. They were not. They were not. There was no communication, and I felt that I was working my rear end off. It's not. It hasn't gotten any smaller, but I felt, you know, that, that I was working very hard and overdoing.
This is a new kind of aerobics. This is marital aerobics, working your rear end off in your marriage. I got that. I'm going to remember this marital aerobics now.
Please, yeah. And if it works for you, let me know, okay?
Yeah. Well, that's a whole new topic for another show.
Yeah, really. Working your rear end off. So you were working your rear end off, MS and all, and no communication. So have you guys sort of found your own way into this? We've got to talk, or it's just you studied it, you read books, what?
Well, yes and no, but I'm not blowing my own horn, but I kind of brought that behavior into our marriage. I developed that over the years.
Mm-hmm. And my family, my family, the Thayer family, it was rather dysfunctional, and we just didn't communicate that much. And my sisters, my whole family, everyone has a college degree, and I don't. I've been to community colleges, but that's not the same as a four-year college, you know, and stuff like that. And they're in the medical field, and I just have, you know, a lower grade of degree, and but I'm proud of myself for having accomplished all of them.
Oh, my goodness. You have accomplished so much. And emotional intelligence and emotional communication has nothing to do with formal education, although I teach people how to do this kind of communication. It is not something we learn in school. So, Ed, you're saying that you practiced communication and emotional communication in your first marriage, and then you brought that skill to Barb? That's what you're saying.
I believe I did. Patience.
Oh my gosh, patience.
Discussion.
But you have patiently cared for a wife who was gravely ill for a long time. Where did you were you born patient, or did you cultivate this patience?
Oh, heavens, no, that was cultivated. That was cultivated over all those years. No, I was impetuous as a young man, and fortunately, in the right direction. I never wound up in jail or anything like that. But, no, you know, it takes time. It takes time to cultivate that kind of patience and understanding.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And don't forget, I'm 68, and it took time to get there.
It's true. But, you know, it's a skill that can be cultivated at a younger age if you make the decision to learn to use the patience muscle, the communication muscle, you know. These are our love muscles. So let me ask you this. You know, a lot of research says that because we know MS is a disease that goes into remission. Now, Barb, you have been in a miraculous state of remission since that nurse pushed your foot forward, correct?
Correct.
Right, and this is a very unusual case because many people with MS go in and out of remission. And one of the difficulties I understand with MS sufferers and their family, their caregivers, is that when they're feeling really well, they're able to do so much more. And then when they go into a relapse, they can't do what they were able to do when they were in remission. And there's a lot of conflict that arises between the partners because the partner who's unwell and no longer in remission gets mad at the partner who doesn't understand, you need to do more for me now. You should know I need more help. And they don't communicate the shifts in the needs.
Yeah,
that's true. That is
right?
True.
Yeah. So now, this is not the case for you, Barb, because you're sort of copacetic. You're on a sort of stable path, right?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. She is fairly stable and operating on a level plane, but she does have some very significant physical considerations that we have to keep in mind all the time. One I alluded to already was the susceptibility to heat. I mean, heat just destroys her. We cannot deal with a hot day. That's why we did all our beach walking in the early morning and in the late evening, and we just crashed either indoor activities or in the motel room during the heat of the day.
Yeah, because heat and humidity, that just makes my muscles become like jello. And you can't do anything with jello, walk or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, and you don't even want to eat it. I know jello's not going to do any ads on my show. I know.
Yeah, but
so,
that's just one example. She has other health considerations that we're constantly mindful of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you just work with what you have, and Ed, you're just always watching her and monitoring. And Ed, you really have a very nurturing side to your personality. You love to care for the person you love. So for you, this isn't, oh man, you can't do it, it's too hot. You are selfless in the way you say, we'll just work around it. Even if it's something I could do, you can't. So we'll adjust, we'll do something earlier in the day.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. All right. I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her 5-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm with my guests, Barbara Thayer, a lifelong MS sufferer, and Ed Tullis, her new husband. They're newlyweds. So, you guys, I wanted to talk a little bit about caregiver burnout. I'm sure because you're members of the MS Society, you've heard other caregivers talk about this.
Yes, we have.
Yep. Right?
We meet once a month at Kingston Hospital for the local chapter of the MS Society. And
right.
We hear all kinds of stories that you would not believe. And mm-hmm. the stories such as you just alluded to. And, you know, but you can't really blame people because not everybody is cut out to be a caregiver.
Right. So I want to know, Ed, because I'm going to read out the symptoms of caregiver burnout. And I have a sense that you don't fall into these burnout symptoms. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute. But first, here are the symptoms because, you know, chronic conditions, including MS and caregiving, can burn out the caregiver. And here are the symptoms: withdrawal from friends, family, and other loved ones, loss of interest in activities that were previously enjoyed, feeling blue, irritable, hopeless, and helpless, changes in appetite, weight, or both, changes in sleep patterns, getting sick more often, feelings of wanting to hurt yourself or the person you're caring for, emotional and physical exhaustion, irritability. Now, you don't seem to go through this. I don't have the sense you do, right, Ed?
Well, not all of them, but one or two of those I can relate to.
Which one?
The loss of interest in previous passionate hobbies, for instance, that did taper off severely during the worst of times. And, well, basically that was the biggest thing. And tiredness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Barbara woke me up from both of those things, believe me.
So now you don't have the loss of interest because now Barbara's dragging you to the beach and making you dress up like a gunslinger.
But wait, we are members of the 42nd Highland Royal British Brigade, and so he made me dress up like a 18th century lady, you know, and.
Yeah. We're American Revolution reenactors.
Reenactors, and that is a lot of fun.
On top of everything else, you dress up as 18th century
mm-hmm.
Soldiers. And, well, Barb, do you dress up as a soldier, too?
No, ma'am, I dress up as a woman. And you know what we women got to do? We got to build a good fire, and we got to make a hot, strong pot of coffee, and we did dishes, and made the food and did dishes. And
oh, how lovely. Barefoot and pregnant. That's what we're going to dress up in. I'm staying in this century. Peel me a grape.
Exactly. And what we had to sometimes help deliver babies, you know, but that's just part of the course, isn't it?
Oh, deliver babies, too. Right. Stretch marks, screaming. Oh, so much trouble. So.
Well, most of the time in field reenactments, the women portray what we call camp followers. And they were the women and children that followed the armies on both sides.
Isn't that like the groupies that follow the rock bands?
Yeah,
exactly,
like
exactly.
Right.
It's so funny because with my MS, I do need to take a nap. So in the middle of all this the firing and the cannons going off, I would be laying on a cot in the shade, and I'd be snoozing away. and all the shelling and everything wouldn't bother me a bit, you know?
That's really a good one. Oh, my goodness. So now, Barb, I hear you're writing your memoir.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and I think you said, Ed, that you're acting as her agent?
I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, guess
I'm
what?
I'm acting as her agent, and my brother, who we love dearly and is very close to us, we are doing the editing for Barb.
Barb, you just have everybody surrounding you, and guess what? I'm going to introduce you to my literary agent.
Okay.
Because she's a top agent, and maybe she can help you get your book published in, you know, really, really top press. If you would like, I'll make the intro.
Okay.
Okay.
Wonderful.
What the heck, you know?
Yeah.
Might as well.
Well, we've been rushed by publishing houses already, and there's one particularly we haven't signed with anybody. There's one that's particularly interested in her autobiography. I won't mention the name of the house, but it's attached to Peterson. And, we'll probably go with them when we're ready.
I'll tell you something. This is a very unusual thing you're telling me, because I must say this just goes to show how the angels are all surrounding you and supporting you in bringing your inspirational story out. Because it is said that unless you have a huge name, a platform, a following, no publisher will publish any book from you, memoir or otherwise. So this just goes to show how the, if I may say, waves are parting. They really are for you. And really, I totally, totally support what you're doing, because it is an incredible inspiration for everyone to see how you, Ed, roll with the punches and give care with so much love and flexibility and selflessness, and how you, Barb, just smile through everything. And, you know, I have a patient who was leaving my office last week feeling very glum, and she was crying, and she said, I'll never find a man. You know, her husband is divorcing her. She's overweight. She has a lot of arthritic problems. She limps. And she was absolutely convinced. And I immediately thought of you. And I thought, my goodness, four marriages. This is your fourth, right? Four is the charm. Four is the charm. And you have pain. You walk with a limp. You have all kinds of physical deficits. And you are just a stud muffin, girl. Well, I don't know if a girl can be a stud muffin. What would a girl be? A muffin muffin? I don't know.
Blueberry muffin. She likes blueberry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the thing is, you radiate so much joy and bubbliness and happiness, and it is absolutely magnetizing. Because look, I was sitting in the waiting room of the chiropractor, right, feeling pretty miserable for myself with my stupid little bone out, right? And I look over at you, you're a ray of sunshine, and we start to talk, and this was it. In a few minutes, I had fallen in love with you and Ed. You guys are going to have to, not only when you publish the book, you're going to have to go on a speaking tour.
Okay.
You know?
Well, sounds like fun.
Funny you should mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Barbara, we can't frame it and say, okay, Barbara is an inspirational speaker, because she's never been paid for it, but she...
Wait, 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 stop right now. Don't say because she's never been paid for it, she is not an inspirational speaker. She is an inspirational speaker.
She hasn't been paid yet.
That doesn't mean anything.
Right. That's what I was leading up
to.
Everywhere she goes, she attracts, she holds court. Let's put it that way. And before you know it, she's got people that she's talking to, sometimes in small groups.
Right.
And she's just a natural. I mean, so I think what I'm getting at is I think you're right.
I know I'm right. Dr. Love is always right and very humble, too.
Sure,
I want you to know Jesus was an inspirational speaker, and I don't think he got paid for it.
Right.
Now, talk to me about the rituals that you perform to keep your relationship strong. Now, I know you're newlyweds of only a week, but you've been together now as lovers before you got married for 2 years. So what do you do to prize each other on a daily basis?
Oh, gosh. Well, Barbara's only been living here as Mrs. Tullis for a couple of weeks now. And quite frankly, Jamie, we've been so damn busy, we haven't had time to think about things like that.
All right, well, I'm throwing you a curveball because got to prize each other. Have you ever heard of the 5-to-1 rule?
No.
All right, well, Dr. Love's going to tell you about this. And I have a feeling that you both already embody the 5-to-1 rule or ratio, but I'm going to tell you what it is. There was a research out of the Love Lab at the University of Washington that did this longitudinal study to look at couples who make it for the long haul and couples who are unhappy. And out of all the variables that were spit into the computer, only one variable came out as being connected to long-term marital and relationship satisfaction, and it's called the 5-to-1 ratio. For every one negative word or gesture or facial expression, you have to offset it with 5 positives per day, every day. And when couples went down to even 4-to-1, their relationship didn't make it past 5 years. How do you like that?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
5-to-1. So that means every day worshiping each other. Now, this is a difficult thing for people to do when you're hit with troubles, financial strain, chronic physical illness. But I bet you guys are doing this on a daily basis and you just never made it conscious.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That right?
That is true. Yes, you're right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Your love is always right. You know that.
Do you know, you know how I first was drawn to you both? This is what is the real honest to God truth, because I'm going to give you my testimonial here. I was at the chiropractor where you also go, and I just looked out of my periphery at this man and woman in the car, and I saw the two of you lean toward each other and kiss. And it took my breath away. I said, what? What are these two people doing? Because at first when I saw you and you're an older couple and I saw you kissing, I thought, kissing each other after all those decades of marriage, what are they doing? And then, of course, I had to get nosy and ask you all kinds of personal questions. And I found out you were going on your honeymoon in a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So 5-to-1. So do you both know each other's love language? So, for example, for some it's words, for others it's action, for some it's gifts. What is your love language, Barb? Do you like to share? Do you like to be loved in words or deeds?
Indeed.
For you, it's deeds, right?
Yeah.
So that's why Ed is so perfect for you, because he loves you in all kinds of deeds, right?
He does, yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Get it?
Well, I have to emphasize indeed, okay?
There you go. Yeah. And Ed, what's your love language?
We communicate, and our love language exists on many different levels.
But for you, Ed, it's words.
It's touch.
That's right.
It's unspoken feeling and communication that clicks. I mean, we know each other. We can tell you. I can feel Barbara. I know her. She knows me. Mm-hmm. And, we talk a lot. It's almost nonstop communication. And But touch is very important.
For you. And I bet you know that, Barb. You're always putting your hands on him and pawing him, right?
Right.
I know. OK, okay, and I kiss him too.
That's yeah. why I saw you leaning over to kiss him. That's what I saw.
Yeah, and this isn't just a new thing because we're newlyweds.
I know.
I have long recognized that, well, take the great apes. I mean, they groom each other. They communicate by touch and feel. And
wait a minute. Are you telling me that you're eating bugs out of her hair?
Don't tell everybody, okay? We're on radio, aren't we, guys?
No, but the point being, and I
get
know
it.
You know what I'm talking about. You get it. Yeah, touch is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And people are afraid to touch each other. And not just because of the flu. I mean, they're just afraid to get within each other's space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame, especially if you know each other intimately. You should be inside that space gently and lovingly.
That's beautiful. So listen, we have 2 minutes left. So
okay.
Before I close, I want to make sure that I promote you both and honor you both in the best way that I can. So what is it that I can do to help promote your love and your soon-to-be-published memoir, Barb? How can people find out about you if they want to know you and hear you speak?
Well, you know what comes to mind immediately, Jamie?
Yeah.
Come and visit us and sit down and have something refreshing. Have dinner with us and just get to know us even better.
Yes,
well, you know, you're inviting, my show is heard in 80 countries worldwide, and also it's on terrestrial radio in Seattle, so the invitation you have just made, and I have a lot of listeners, so if you're inviting everybody to come to your house for dinner, that's going to be a very large banquet table, because everyone's going to want to be with you.
We have a good-sized pool, but I don't know if we can entertain the world all at once.
There you go. Well, just all you can do is entertain the world one bug at a time? No, one meal at a time?
Oh, one psychologist at a time, please.
All righty. I'm so, so happy that you came on my show.
Well, thank you so very much.
Yeah.
Been an inspiration to meet you and hear your story, and I want to follow up with you, hear how you're doing with the memoir, with your new love, your everything. I just enjoyed you so much, and I know everyone else has too. So
it's been a pleasure, Jamie.
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
Since we're both shooting blanks, we're going to get a dog, okay?
You are shooting blanks?
Yeah, well, we're obviously not going to have any kids, so we're going to
oh, my Lord, I all right, we're going to close on that note. And I will see everyone next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio. Take care.